getting up now. I hate to keep mentioning that, but I feel like if I mention it enough, we can stop a lot of unnecessary leaving. If you don't have an emergency or a baby that needs to be taken out, keep your seat. I notice we still have a couple of teenage boys that are still getting up, and this is up to somebody to stop them, because I don't want to embarrass them that bad. And you sit there during the preaching. Turn it down just a little bit, brother. Nobody get up now while the message is being preached tonight. You can sit there till I get through. It's going to be short. And it's for every parent tonight and every kid, every young person, but especially for the parents this evening. It's kind of going to be different. I preached on this scripture before, and I preached it just to young people, but tonight it's going to be the parents. And I guess with camp starting and everything, I've kind of got a burden for it like this, but Lord's been dealing my heart about it all week. In this story in 2 Samuel chapter 18, there was a battle going on, one of those civil wars that Joab and David's men fought against some of the children of Israel. They were out fighting, and they had a terrible time. They were fighting and killing and slaughtering people. Now, David the king was going to go fight in this battle, and he said, I'm going right out there with you. I believe in this script chapter before this. And they said, no, king, we better not let you do that. You're liable to go out there and get killed or something. And they said, if they see you out there, they're going to go after you. He said, we're just not people here in the army. If a bunch of us die, it won't matter, but you're worth 10,000 of us. And showing how the great respect that they had for David, their leader. And so they said, you stay. And he said, well, whatever you think's best. And he stayed. But it just so happens that David had a son that was out of fellowship with him. And David had a son that was out of the will of God. His name, Absalom. If you know the story, some things had happened between David and Absalom that had really, they was on the outs with each other. But David had what every man has for his son. An undying, unmeasurable love that nothing can ever change. All you men here this evening that have sons, this will really speak to your heart. And of course, ladies, you can translate it right on into you and your daughters. And the battle went sore that day, and a bunch of people were killed, and you know how that Absalom went and got his head caught in that oak tree? And when he got his head caught in that oak tree, he's just left hanging there, and the mule ran out from under him. Somebody come along and said, there he is, get him. And we'll see what happens here as we read the scripture. Verse number 12. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee, and said, charged thee and Abishai and Attai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have brought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself would have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand, and thrust them through the heart of Absalom, while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. For Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. Now by the way, there's one of the so-called contradictions in the Bible. He reared up this pillar, Absalom did, and said, I have no son that's going to carry on my name after it. And some of these real smart fellows have went over in other places in the Bible where it said Absalom did have some son. Now, that shows you the difference that your
your heart attitude makes you find contradictions in the Bible. The only way a man can find a contradiction there is be looking for it. You say, well, it said he didn't have no sons. Another place he did have sons. Well, listen, smarty. There was a time in my life when I didn't have any kids. Amen? Somebody asked me when I was 18, you got any kids? No. You 25, got kids? Yeah. Was I lying? Was that a contradiction? Absolutely not. Absalom's sons could have been born at a later time before he reared up that thing. Or Absalom's sons could have been killed in the battle. They're not mentioned in genealogies. Don't you think people that went to that much trouble writing the Bible would have not put that in there? The Holy Spirit put that in there like that. Wasn't no mistake. No contradiction at all. If men was going to put a contradiction in there, it would have been one a lot harder to find than that. Now, verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Want to go tell David about the victory. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz the son of Zadok yet again unto Joab, but howsoever let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? That's how they didn't call people them days. They sent what they called a runner, like a Pony Express fella. And he'd say, run to Morganton, or he'd run to wherever, and bear the tidings of what had happened in the battle. Verse 23, but howsoever, said he, let me run. He said unto him, run, nothing else will do ye, go on. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. The king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz the son of Zadok. They'd seen them fellas come to town so much, they could tell by the way they run. You can do that. You can tell somebody the way somebody runs. I've seen J.D. run over there lots of times playing ball. I know how he runs. I've seen Bruce try to run. And they run different. Everybody runs different. He said, methinks that first fella looks like a Ahimaaz. He's a whole, maybe he is a panting for breath. I don't know. But that's who he looked like. And the king said, he's a good man, cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. Here he comes. Can't you just see him coming in the gate? And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom saved? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king, here's one of the most touching verses in the Old Testament. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. I read a lot of scripture tonight and gave you a long introduction, or the message is brief. Just for a few minutes, the subject is the young man safe. As I said, one of the most moving stories in the Old Testament is this scene. I want you to get it in your mind tonight exactly what was going on here. If I can describe to you. You imagine the king back here at the palace, pacing the floor. The whole time he's pacing the floor, he's worried about that boy out there in that battle. Seemed to be all he was concerned about was the welfare of his boy. Boy, he began to worry. Finally, the battle was going strong out there. Thousands of people, I think close to 20,000, it said in chapter 4, 2,000 maybe, 2,000, 20,000, something like that. People died. People were falling all over the place dying. Somebody seen Absalom hanging in an oak tree by his head. And they said, I better not kill that man. He's the king's son. Joab said, well, I'll kill him. I don't care who he is. I don't like that fella. Got those darts, not little darts like we use. They use darts to kill things with, great big ones with a thing, nails sticking out on the end of them about like that. And he hurled that dart at that young man, pierced into maybe his back, went into his towards his heart, and the blood ran down Absalom's body. No doubt he jerked and screamed. And then went another one, then another one. And then the young men swarmed around that man and smote him until he died. Maybe beat him with clubs or rocks. They took Absalom out dead, buried him in a big old hole there and piled up a big pile of stones over his body. Then the battle was over and they'd won the war. Somebody said, hey, do I get to be the one that bring the good news to the king? And Ahimaaz said, I want to do it. And Joab said, you ain't got nothing to say. Stand over here. Cushai came up and said, I'll go report it, my lord. Joab said, go. So here he went across the desert. And boy, he was running. You know, if you're running like that, you got to run a long ways. No doubt, he didn't just take off flying like that. He'd have never made it. You got to pace yourself on them long runs. I can see him running like that across the desert. He's going, he's going, he's going, he's going, he's going. Way up yonder's the king's palace. When he sees that king's palace, they have these porters up on top of the building. Way off. Maybe had a telescope of some kind and said, somebody's coming. The news is going to be reported. We're going to find out. And the king said, who? Where? They said, I see a man coming. It looked like Ahimaaz, and the son of Zadok. And here come Ahimaaz running across the desert there up to the palace. He come in and fell down before the king and said, good news, king, good news. Before he fell down on his face, the king said, is a young man Absalom safe? What about my boy? Is my boy all right? My boy's out there in that battle. My boy, is he all right? And Zadok, about that time, the other fellow come running in, Cushai, and Ahimaaz stood up and said, "Well, King, there was a tumult, you know, and I saw a bunch of people crowded around, and they was saying something about somebody got killed or something." And the king said, "Stand over here and hush, get out of the way." And he said, but King, I got good news. He said, can you tell me anything about my boy? He said, no. He said, well, I don't want to hear what you got to say. I want to know what's happened to my boy. Next man come running in. He said, good tidings, my lord. King David said, my boy all right? He said, the Lord's give us the victory, King. King said, my boy all right? All is well, King. King said, is the young man safe? King, guess what? Your enemies are dead. Your enemies are dead. They'll never bother you again. King said, is the young man safe? They said, King, stocks and bonds are up. We took all their silver and gold. We'll put it in the bank. The kingdom is richer. The king said, I don't care about that. Is the young man safe? They said, but King, your fame is great. TV stations will be calling. You'll be on the news. You'll be on the front page of every paper in the country. You're a celebrity. You are the highest king of all now. He said, I don't care about the fame. I don't care about the money. Is my boy safe? And finally, Cushai looked at him. He said, King, all that rise up against thee to do thy hurt, be as that young man is. Dead. The Bible says that King David went down. I can see David as he put his hands in the air and maybe put his hand on his face and said, oh, Absalom, my son, what God I done for thee? Oh, Absalom, my son. listen, brother, those people were amazed. They said, listen, we won the battle. The kingdom's been increased. David's richer. He's greater than he's ever been, and all he's worried about is that boy of his. As a matter of fact, one guy in the next chapter said this. Joab come to him later. He said, King, I perceive that if all of us had got killed and that young man had lived, that you'd be happier than you are now. Brother, I read that scripture and I said, I can relate to that. I don't think David was such a bad fellow for feeling that way. You got a boy, you know how it feels. You got a kid, you know how it feels. Brother, you'd rather the whole crowd get killed than your boy. Now be honest, wouldn't you? If you love your kid and the war was going on, you don't care about, I mean, you don't want nobody to get hurt, but you don't care so much about that big multitude out there of unknown faces as you do your boy. You want to know about your boy. You want to know about your boy. Is my boy all right? Is my boy saved? David said, I don't care about the riches. I don't care about the fame. I don't care about the popularity. All I want to know is my boy saved. Is my boy saved? I want to use that as a type tonight and ask you a couple of questions. David said, the most important thing is my boy saved. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the most important thing you can know as a parent is that your kids are saved. That's the most important thing you can know. Do you know your kids are saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your kids are saved? I'm talking to parents here tonight. Every parent, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. When it all is said and done, when everything's been accomplished or not accomplished, when bills are paid or not paid, when education's there or not there, when cars have all done and gone, when houses have all passed away, the only thing that's really going to matter in eternity is all those kids of yours saved. Are they saved? Are they saved? Are they saved? Is the young man saved? Is the young lady saved? Kid, mama, some of you mamas sitting there saying, well, I thank God all mine's saved. Do you know they're saved? You say, well, I remember they got saved in Bible school one time. Listen, that's not enough. You know what I think every parent ought to do? I'm getting ahead of myself and I'll get back to this in a minute. I think that every parent ought to consider it their job to keep a check on a regular basis and talk to their kids. I think you ought to ask them, are they sure they're saved? Every now and then till they're about 25. I mean that. I really mean it. You ask Carrie back there tonight if ever she got saved when she was 7. Krista got saved, I believe, when she was 6. And Corey's smarter than either one of them got saved when she was 5. That's right. And you ask Carrie if every once in a while I'll get her down and say, honey, you know everything's right with you and the Lord? You know what that crazy thing done this week? I'm crazier than she is because I let her bungee jump. She did. She really did. She wanted to do it, so I let her. The guy gave her a real discount and she paid for it. I said, before she got up on that thing, I said, honey, you know you're saved? I did. You sure you're saved? This may be it. This may be your last day. And I wasn't kidding either, brother. You never know. You never know. Are you sure you're saved? I think that parents ought to get their kids down, and every once in a while, you say, well, that's just something we never talk about at our house. Why in the name of God don't you talk about it? What is more important? You name me. You say, well, I feel like that's a person's private business. That's baloney. That's baloney. We're talking about heaven and hell, people. We're talking about hell forever and ever and ever. What is wrong with a mama sitting down with her girls or a daddy sitting down with these boys and saying, hey, I just want to have a man to man or woman to woman talk with you. Do you know that you're saved? You know why a lot of kids grow up, find out when they're 30 years old, they made a false profession when they was in Bible school because they didn't have a parent that worked with them all those years and checked up on them every few years and said, do you know that you're saved? Brother, if you believe that Bible tonight, you believe there's a possibility your kid could drop in hell and burn forever and ever and ever, don't you tell me that it wouldn't put a desire in your heart to worry about their salvation. I worried about Corey and she's 5 years old. She asked two or three times, she said, Daddy, am I safe? I said, honey, you're safe. If Jesus come back, you'd be all right. But as soon as you realize you're a sinner, I thought, man, there's a fine line in there. There's a fine line in there. I wouldn't want my kid to go to hell. All right, three things that I want to say tonight. 2 or 3:1. Your kids' salvation to you as a parent ought to be more important than what your, quote, friends out in society say or think or do. Society says, are they successful? We ask, are they saved? Society wants to know, are they popular? We ask, are they saved and on their way to heaven? Society said, are they talented? We say, are they saved? Listen to me tonight. Society will swallow your kids up and swallow you up if you worry about what they say. Too many parents are so concerned about how their kid looks in society and not enough concerned about how their kid stands before God Almighty. Where do you stand before God tonight, young people? Let me ask you parents something. Where do your kids stand before God? Where do your kids stand before God? Have you checked up on them? Have you talked to them? Have you took them in the bedroom at night and beat around the bush a little bit and prayed with them and said, do you know that you're saved? Have you? Have you done that? Listen, David said, is my boy saved? They said, but David, all your enemies are gone. He said, I don't care about that. Is my boy saved? They said, David, you're richer than you've ever been. David said, I don't care. David, diplomats from everywhere are going to be wanting to meet with you. David said, what about my boy? What about my boy? Is your young man saved tonight? The world wants to know. I've noticed this, especially since she's got up that age where she'll be making some decisions in the near future. Everywhere I go, and I'm not belittling this, so don't take wrong what I'm getting ready to say. But everywhere I go, even when I'm off preaching somewhere, they ask me, the first thing everybody says is, where's she going to college? That's what everybody says. And I'm talking about Christian people. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's wrong to go to college. You'd have to hog-tie me to put me in one. But I don't think it's a sin or nothing like that. God leads you, and you need to go, and you want a decent job. There is nothing wrong with getting an education. I'm not saying it's a sin. Go to college. You need to if you want a decent job in this day and time. I'm not saying it's wrong. Don't get me wrong. Brother, where did we ever come up with this idea in our society that a college education is more important than a kid's spiritual welfare? Brother, our society is messed up. They're perverted. Salvation is more important than education. I'll say it again. Salvation is more important than education. You know what? Some people right here in Marion do? They might hear me say this on radio, and it's nothing personal. I know people right here in Marion, from the time their kids are from the 9th and 10th grade, they push them. All they hear is Duke, Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, this. And I'm not saying it's a sin to go. Don't you take it wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But that's all the kid hears. Go here, go there. And you know why they do that? They're friends. They sit around at the steakhouse out here and eat lunch at 12 o'clock. And so they can say to their friends, well, where is your daughter? Oh, she's going to State. Oh, she's going to Carolina. Oh, she's just going. So they can brag to all their big shot friends about my kid going here and my kid going there. And what happens is a kid gets stuck in one of them hell holes somewhere where the girls and boys are taking showers together in the middle of the night and partying and puking all over the place and shacking up with their boyfriends and doing everything else. And the parents think, oh, isn't it wonderful? And the parents are paying for the kid to shack up. Lord have mercy. What's got wrong with us? I didn't say every kid that went to college done that. I didn't say it's a sin to let them go. If my daughter decides she wants to go, I'll do everything I can to help her. And if it's God's will, I can put her. I don't think if you go to college, you necessarily live like that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, brother, I'd rather her be dumber than a doorknob than to be out living in sin. I mean it. I'd rather her be ready to meet God in heaven rather than to have a degree that long and know 15 different languages. I know somebody will take that wrong. I know somebody will get mad at me. Oh, Daniel's up there preaching against education. I ain't preaching against education. I'm preaching against sin. Sin! Is your kid saved? It's more important. If you go out here, someone that says, where's your daughter going to college? And you say, nowhere. They look at you like, boy, you're a low class. What kind of bum are you? That's the way they make you feel. They make you feel like you're poor and ignorant. Well, I want to tell you something, brother. College ain't for everybody. Some of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life have a college education. That's the honest truth. Honest. I'm not, I'm not saying that my wife's got a 4-year degree. I didn't mean that bad. But I tell you something, brother, that don't make you smart, I can tell you that. Some of the most dense people I've ever talked to. You go in some of these places of business, they can't even carry on a decent conversation. Got that big degree hanging on the wall. Nothing wrong with a degree if you got a little sense to go with it. Some man, if you ain't got it, you ain't got it, and they ain't gonna give it to you. Some people just ain't got it. Well, is your young man educated? I want to know, is he saved? I'll get talked about for that. I'll get the reputation of putting down education. You just wasn't listening. Education without salvation is damnation. And if school makes them backslid, they're better off being dumb and right with God. And if you don't agree with that, one day you will when God gets hold of you. I don't think you have to be dumb to be right with God. I think it'd be a blessing if you could. I think God wants some Christian young people in these colleges to take a stand and witness and serve God. Thank God they are a lot of Christian young people. You know where the beer drinking capital of North Carolina is? Chapel Hill. Why would somebody want their kid in that? Well, the prestige. What about the beer? You think prestige more better than beer? I'm not saying it's wrong to go there. If the Lord leads my daughter to go there, praise God. Let her go. She can be a testimony and witness. I believe God wants some there. Please understand me. I'll tell you one thing. I think too many people are too worried about what their friends are going to say and not enough worried about where their kids stand before God. You know what? In John chapter 9, I want to ask you to turn there. I'll say this and hurry along. In John chapter 9, there's a fellow that Jesus touched and healed. And brother, the Pharisees came and asked him. They said, who done this? And they come to his parents. And they come to that man's parents. And they said, who made your son well? And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said in John chapter 9, his parents were afraid. They're scared to talk to them, people. They should have said, bless God, Jesus touched him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, he touched my boy. You know what they said? The Bible said they were afraid to tell him because they were afraid of what them Pharisees and Jews would think about him and do to him. So they said this, we don't know, he's of age, ask him. Boy, that's really supporting your young person really trying to live for God. You know what makes me madder than fire? When we got young people that want to live right and want to do right, and mom and daddy's too backslid to encourage them to keep on that. You know what? You know what? Our youth camp's one of the greatest things in the United States for young people to get right with God. Amen? I believe, brother, you travel far and wide. You say, oh, there's nice youth camps up north. Yeah, they are, and they're deader than 4 o'clock, most of them. Our youth camp is one of the greatest things that I know of to get young people right with God. And I know good and well why a lot of young people don't come, because mom and daddy don't care if they do or not. Amen? Amen? Brother, I'm telling you, it's important if your kids say. It's important. Some kids don't want to, and some kids are backslid. Sometimes mom and daddy have put in the kid's head that other things are more important. You never, never side with your kid when your kid is wrong. You'll ruin them. You'll ruin them. Never sympathize with your kid when your kid is wrong. You'll ruin them. May not agree with you, but stand for what's right. They'll respect you in the long run. I didn't plan on saying all that, but I tell you what, brother, we need to be more concerned about our kids. I know there's probably some of you mad at me right now. You're like, well, somebody's been telling him something about me. He's talking to him. I ain't saying this to nobody. If you feel guilty, don't blame me. If the shoe fits, wear it. It's not my fault. That's like a woman getting mad and smashing her mirror because it shows her the wrinkles in her face. Amen. He was more worried about his boy's salvation than what the community and the friends of his thought about him. Lord have mercy, some of you, if you listen to Grandma and Grandpa, they'll ruin your kid. They'll say, now I wouldn't make it get up and go to Sunday school. Poor little thing. It didn't get in the bed. It feels bad. Them grandmas will ruin your kids. Bless their hearts, they're sweet and all of that. They beat your rear and made you get up and go when you was growing up. Suddenly when Grand Young comes along, well, I wouldn't make it. Don't make it. Go to church. You say, was your kids always want to come to church? Why, of course not. But they know in our house, when it's Sunday morning, it's time to go to church. When it's Sunday night, it's time to go to church. You say they ever go? Wow. What about my boy? What if David would have said, oh, well, I lost a boy, but who cares, man? I'm the greatest. I'm King David. I'm going to give speeches. He'd have been a failure as a daddy. Many people are a success in the world, but a failure as a parent. Typical of Hollywood movie star and stuff. They'll work 16 hours a day and pay a private tutor to give their kids the very best and all that baloney. First thing you know, you're reading one of them papers where their kid's a cocaine addict or killed in a car accident, driving drunk or something like that. It's more important than how successful you are. Let me say to you parents here tonight, it's more important that your kids be saved and you be right with God and be an example for them than it is for you to provide for them all the things that they want physically. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. If God has blessed you and you've made a good living, you can provide them kids a nice house and nice clothes. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching against having a nice house. I'm not preaching against getting an education. I'm not preaching against buying them some pretty clothes. All that's okay as long as you put God where He's supposed to be and remember their salvation is the most important thing. Some people used to go to church right here in McDowell County, but they got successful. And they started making that money. And they got in with the big shots at such and such, and maybe over here at this factory, and over here at that factory. First thing you know, this old shouting Baptist religion like we got here tonight didn't fit the lifestyle of the crowd that they were beginning to run around with. And so they decided to go and join the Baptist church. And the next thing you know, they were keeping a little wine in the refrigerator. And they were drinking a little sip of it every now and then. Next thing you know, they were going to parties where there was dancing and stuff like that. And the next thing you know, the kids is out here buying beer in the beer store. You know why? Because they cared more about success than they did their kids' salvation. Lord have mercy, that's awful. It's amazing how deceived Christians are. When I got saved, my daddy was a lost man. Daddy didn't get saved. I'd been saved maybe four years. He watched me 4 years, see if there's anything to it, I reckon. My daddy was raised without a Bible, without a mama. And daddy's daddy was alive, but he never run into him. My daddy is raised like an animal up in the mountains of West Virginia and Kentucky. He never had a mom. His mama died when he was little. And he said he'd stood outside people's house many a time at night and it getting dark, wishing he had a place to go in and sleep. He had scars in his head where they'd fought and hit him and busted him in the head with rocks and everything else. He was just drug up. The only thing Daddy ever knew about God was what my mom told him. One time she said, Lawrence, do you believe in God? And he said, I don't know. I ain't never seen Him. That's all he could say. But you know something my daddy did? The night I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, I was 18 years old. I come home, told Mom I got saved. That revival meeting broke loose. That thing went on another week and a half after I got saved. God moved in that community, and I didn't know it until it was after over. My daddy, Joe Parson, was preaching revival, and my daddy went down there and gave Joe Parson a $100 bill. And somebody was talking to him about that and said, Lawrence Castle, give that preacher $100. And somebody asked him, I said, Lawrence, why'd you do that? And I never forget, Daddy said, I'd rather give it to him than give it to the judge. That's what he said. See, I'd done got in trouble the year before that at school. They didn't call the cops on us, but that's when we had all them keys, you know, the gym. We had our own keys made, so we'd get in the gym and play ball, you know. And a bunch of stuff started getting gone and getting stolen and stuff. And he said, man, we could hang you boys for this and all that. And Daddy knew, as a lost sinner, that whatever happened to me down there had done me more good. And he said, I'd rather give it to that preacher than give it to the judge. He knew where he was going to wind up with me one day, in the courtroom. And my daddy made a great statement. He was lost! He was a lost man! He said, I'd rather give that preacher $100 than give it to a judge. I wish some Christians had that much sense that I know. Hey, if you don't keep them in church, you don't give to God's word, you don't do right, you'll be giving it to the court up here one of these days. That's right. You'll be visiting. You'll be on visitation rights to them one of these days. Kids are in a rough world. They catch it these days. The ones that escape their mother's womb are lucky. There's two strikes against them before they're ever born nowadays. By abortion. A lot of them don't even ever get to be born. The graduating class of 1993 was cut way down because abortion was made legal 30 years ago. And then the 18 years ago, they started giving them, and this class, our graduating class, was much lower because all their colleagues died in their mother's womb. If they make it through their mother's womb, the drug pusher's out there waiting on them on the street. TV and movies are ready to swallow them up, cram false values down their throat. Pornographers are waiting on them. Their books, even on the school bus. The rock music crowd is waiting to devour them. The money grabbers and the devil himself wanting to devour them. We got a lot working against our kids. Ain't nobody, the TV, the rock crowd, the government, they ain't interested in our kids' salvation. It's up to us. The government's not going to step in and say, all right, now we're going to help all these kids get saved. It ain't going to happen. They're doing everything in their power to keep God and the Bible away from our kids. It's up to us. You, the parent, have the responsibility on your shoulder of knowing your kid's saved. Is the young man saved? If you had to say right now, could you lay down with a clear conscience and say, I know my kid's saved? Something you ought to pray about. Parents, two things you to do while they're coming to get in the song. One, pray with your kids. Pray with them. And talk to them, number two. Talk to them. Talk to them about their salvation. Don't be ashamed. You're ashamed to talk about the Lord in your own home, man. Something's wrong. Talk to them. Talk to them. Say, honey, now Daddy just wants to know. Mama just wants to know. Do you know that you're saved? You don't try to make them doubt it. Don't try to make them doubt it. Just ask them. You know you've been... When they get on up a couple of years, hit them again. When they get on up 11 and 12, hit them again. There's something about when they're 8 and 9 and 10 years... There's a fuzzy period there where they kind of doubt it and they're not really sure. Up until they're 25 years old, I just keep asking them. Keep asking them. Wouldn't hurt to ask them after that. Know you're saved. After it's all said and done, that's all that's going to matter. Are they saved? Let's stand and sing tonight.
371.
Number 371. If you as a parent want to come to the altar tonight, you just feel free to come on, get down on your knees. Join these, it's already coming tonight. If you as a young person want to come and make sure that you're saved, you come on right now. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Is the young man saved? Oh, Absalom, my son. My son, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. My heart goes out to you, parents. God's blessed me. My girls are saved. Some of you have got a kid maybe in another state. Maybe grown. You don't know if they're saved or not. Let's help these bear their burden and pray for them. God's speaking to your heart. You come right now.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone.
Is the young man safe?
In my distress, he kindly will help me.
Sing it.
He ever loves and cares for his own.
All right, let's sing. Everybody sing now. Let's hear you.
I must tell Jesus.
Are you saved?
You know you're saved.
I must tell Jesus I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus. Sing it.
Jesus.
More important than making money. It's more important than them being a sports star. It is. Are they saved?
He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver.
Alright, let's sing everybody. I must tell Jesus. Tell it to him.
I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone.
Amen.
I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus. Well...